This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon and then concluding with a prayer. So it is good to gather to worship together. Even if we are gathering from our own home and we're gathering online, it is good to come together and to sing the same songs, read the same words, pray the same prayers, and know that we are coming together at the same time. So you're welcome to our worship this morning. We're carrying on a series on Nehemiah that's called Confident with God. And we're looking this morning at the importance of gratitude. So have your Bibles at hand for Nehemiah chapter 12. And in a short time, we're going to look at that chapter and reflect on the importance of gratitude.
The reading is taken from Nehemiah 12, verses 27 to 31 and verse 43. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, harps and lyres. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the districts surrounding Jerusalem and from the villages of the Netophathites, also from Beth Gilgal and from the region of Jebba and Asmatheth. For the singers had built for themselves villages around Jerusalem. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves, and they purified the people and the gates and the wall. Then I brought the leaders of Judah up onto the wall and appointed two great choirs that gave thanks. And they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away.
Nehemiah 12 describes the day the Judeans celebrated the completion of the building of the wall around Jerusalem. But they are simply thanking God for a stone wall. They're thanking God for making Nehemiah aware of the dilemma that they faced, for releasing him from the Persian capital to safely travel the long and dangerous journey to Jerusalem. They're thanking God for the protection that was offered by the Persian emperor, for the laborers willing to do the tiring and dangerous work. They're thanking God for the strength to persevere despite the threats and the ridicule from neighboring nations. They're thanking God for the completion of the building project within the limited time that the Persian emperor had dictated. And they're thanking God for everything those stones represent about security and peace and strength and unity. Nehemiah 12 describes how they took time to stop and recognize that there were many things to be thankful for, more than just an impressive stone wall. And isn't that what we find when we stop for a moment? When we slow down and we see and we notice how we have been blessed. We find there are often more reasons to be thankful than what we expected. But gratitude is more than thankfulness. Gratitude is directed towards someone. This past year, I think we can all agree that we have discovered the value of gratitude. For example, there have been many national, local, and even personal gestures of gratitude. acknowledging the thanks towards key workers like medics and teachers, police, fire and rescue services, postal services, delivery men, shop assistants and charity workers. Even just speaking to some of you, I've heard you express your thanks to family and friends, for neighbours, for your church family. Gratitude is seeing that our blessings have a source in another and expressing that through thanks. Nehemiah deliberately repeats throughout the passage their appreciation, their thanks towards God. We're told that families left their homes and villages and gathered to give thanks to God. They played musical instruments to express their thanks to God. They formed a choir to sing thanks to God. And they presented their offerings to bring their thanks to God. Their gratitude wasn't to Nehemiah's leadership, or King Artaxerxes, the Persian Emperor's protection, or Asaph, who provided the timber, or towards the gatekeepers who kept watch day and night. Though they all deserved to be thanked and appreciated, but the gratitude of the people was first and foremost towards God. God, who is the source and the beginning of everything. In the beginning, recorded in Genesis chapter 1, we find gratitude at the heart of God's creation. Every aspect of creation was made by God, and God looked upon it, and we're told God said, "It is good." God spent that first week of creation being grateful for all he had made. In that first week of creation, God models grateful living. He spoke his gratitude over creation. And in creating Adam and Eve, God invites us into this grateful living to recognize God's daily blessings and to know, like God, it is good. On one occasion, Jesus told his disciples to look at the birds. Look at how they fly, how they eat, how they sing. What do you see? What do you hear? Do you know there are all sorts of explanations that we can give? Evolutionary drives, natural instincts, territorial defense. But you also see something created by God with thought and attention to beauty and design. And then Jesus says, we're told, to the disciples, "Now look at the flowers as they moved in the breeze and as they colored the roadside. What do you see? What do you notice?" And again, there are all sorts of explanations. Genetics, photosynthesis, seeds. But ultimately, the involvement of God to make something for us to enjoy and recognize, another mark of God's goodness in creation. Jesus was helping the disciples to see God's goodness in the world around them and to be thankful for it. And he was saying this at a time when they had many reasons to be anxious and to be fearful. Jesus was speaking to young men who lived in a society where food was scarce. The Roman Empire was oppressive. Injustice was common, and life was just hard. Jesus was assuring his disciples that they have reasons to be thankful. Just look around. Look at God's creation. God cares. And his care is evident. You can see it. There are signs of it all around us, even in the smallest signs of goodness in creation. The seemingly insignificant life of a bird or a flower. Gratitude is at the heart of creation and at the heart of our humanity. Studies in neuroscience have identified that an area of the brain involved in experiencing and expressing gratitude. And they've identified in early education, gratitude is something young children can grasp really easily. From an early age, we're taught to say thank you, ta-ta. And scientists have observed that more grateful people are healthier, happier, feel more energized, they're less anxious, they're more satisfied with their lives, they're often less materialistic and less likely to suffer from burnout and more resilient. Gratitude is powerful. It can change our perspective on life, on our circumstances, because it's a reminder that we are not alone, because gratitude is directed towards another. And how they've been good to us. And how they have given us something when we have maybe not sought their kindness, or earned it, or deserved it. But we have benefited from it in some way. When we direct our gratitude towards God, it helps us appreciate God more and sense more of God's presence, recognize God in our lives, his personal care, his perfect timing. Gratitude lifts our eyes from the gift to the giver, from the created to the creator. And yet, when we go back to Genesis, just for a moment, in chapter 3, Adam and Eve were in the garden that was perfect and that produced abundantly, without work or without weeding, where every single plant but one, every single plant but one, they had. It had been given to them by God. And the serpent drew attention to the one that they lacked, to what they didn't have. And Adam and Eve believed the enemy's lie that what God had given them wasn't good enough. The evil one said, God has given you every tree except that one. As if that was a sign in some way of the lack of the goodness of God. And Adam and Eve focused on what they lacked and not being grateful towards God. They felt dissatisfied and discontent and distant from God. 1,000 adverts are designed to reinforce that feeling in us every day that we haven't enough, that there's something that we lack. And if we bought this or if we had that, then we'd be more happier and we'd enjoy life more. And this is the opposite of God in the first week of creation. How God modeled grateful living, recognizing and valuing what is good and being thankful. And we're told on the last day that God rested because God could, because God was content, because God was happy. Adam and Eve failed to be grateful. They questioned the goodness of God. And as a result, they became distant from God. Gratitude protects us from caving into the enemy's lies that we haven't enough and we lack the goodness of God. Gratitude to God is powerful. Our gratitude glorifies God, appreciates God, worships God, and this draws us closer to God and strengthens our faith. Let's take a moment now. Let's just pause and thank God for being good to us, for the blessings that we have in our lives, for those that we overlook and those that we take for granted, no matter how simple or ordinary. Take a moment and reflect upon and look upon your life now as God looked upon creation. See where in your life, like God, you can say, it is good. That is good. In your mind's eye, see the people, see the places you enjoy that are blessing. And take a moment now in the silence, just a minute of silence to say, it is good. Thank you, God. Perhaps later on in the day, take yourself for a walk somewhere and continue that conversation with God of how thankful you are. But for now, let's use the words of this song to thank God. Or let the words of this song, Goodness to God, be sung over you as you continue to give thanks to God for the goodness, for his goodness in your life. One thing to take a moment and be grateful, but it's quite another to live a grateful life. How do we live a life of gratitude? Are there just some people for whom the glass is half full and the cloud always has a silver lining? And then there are those who are just always grumpy and complaining, and we're either one or we're the other. But the Bible says that we can all live a life of gratitude. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul writes to the Christian community in the church of Thessalonica, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." It is God's will that we live a grateful life. And God has put in place lots of opportunities for us to practice gratitude. In Nehemiah 12, they set a time aside to give thanks to God. Life can be hard, and God knows that by the end of the week we can be weary, discouraged, disheartened. And at the weekend, we just want to lie down maybe on the sofa or under a duvet. But God also knows that in the busyness or in the tiredness, the benefit of taking time and remembering who God is and his goodness to us. By doing this, we take in God's peace, his comfort. We draw closer to God and we benefit from that. This is why God commanded that one day a week in our routine and as a habit, to have a Sabbath or Sunday, to set aside, to worship God, to slow down, to look and see the giver, beyond the gift, the creator beyond the created, and to know God's plans and purposes for us are good. Nehemiah 12 also speaks of bringing sacrifices to God. The sacrifice of thanksgiving that's mentioned in Nehemiah 12 is actually first mentioned way back in Leviticus chapter 7. And this included an animal sacrifice as well as various sorts of cereal or bread offerings. And it was a voluntary offering that could be given at any time to express thanksgiving to God. But what was different about this sacrifice is that it was shared. Part of it went to the Lord and was placed on the altar. Part of it was given to the priests. And the other portion was kept by the worshipper to share with family and friends. It could be used as a feast. And that is what they did in Nehemiah 12. They feasted to celebrate God's goodness. This sacrifice, this offering created a sense of communion with God and with others as they enjoyed what God had blessed them with. This is why we're invited to give an offering to the church each week. It's a voluntary offering to God, showing gratitude to God as the source of every blessing in our life, but also to share something of that blessing with others through God's church. We bring the goodness of God close to someone else with the generosity of our sacrifice, of primarily money, but also time and our resources, our possessions. In Nehemiah 12, Nehemiah himself could have gone away and offered a silent prayer to give thanks to God. Or privately, on his own, he could have brought an offering to God. But instead, his gratitude to God spills over into the lives of others. And so we read in chapter 12, the whole community is included in giving thanks. We're told there are men, there are women, there are children, and they gather musicians, a large choir to sing, stand upon the walls, and let those near and far hear their thanks to God. God knows there are times when we need encouragement and help from others to see the reasons to be thankful. Like we reflected on Jesus with his disciples, encouraging them to see and know reasons to be thankful to God for his care. Who in your life helps you see the goodness in the world around you? As a church family, we are to help one another to recognize God's goodness present in the world as reasons to be thankful. When we thank God openly, even in our hardest days, in the most difficult circumstances, it's also a testimony that increases our faith and helps others and for their faith to increase also. This is the effect it had for everyone in Jerusalem and the surrounding area. They all knew who God is and his goodness. Lastly, God has given us these opportunities to practice gratitude, but ultimately God wants to shape and change us into the character of Jesus. Even at the Last Supper, Jesus' last meal, the first thing he did with his disciples before he spoke of his coming death was to give thanks, to thank God. What is Jesus doing here? In the New Testament, it describes giving God a sacrifice of praise. In Hebrews 13, it says, "Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, sacrificial praises on our lips, giving thanks to God in Jesus' name." Gratitude requires that we sacrifice. No longer animals as during the time of Nehemiah, but we sacrifice, we kill our critical or negative spirit, our pride or our envy, our cynicism, our doubts, our fears. We give these up, we sacrifice these things by choosing to believe that God is good and we give God thanks. This was the reason why Jesus gave thanks to God. Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice for us because he believed in the goodness of God, even in the midst of sin and suffering, injustice and death itself. The resurrection shows us, though, Jesus' resurrection, that goodness is more powerful than sin. Peace is more powerful than suffering. And with God, life is more powerful than death. And because of Jesus, nothing can separate us from the love of God. So look what Jesus has done for you. Look upon your life. Look what God has given you. And I pray that you're able, like God, looking upon creation that first week, to say, it is good. This is good. See what is good. And like Nehemiah 12, give thanks.
A church stands empty, but its minister, leaders and congregation stand fast, thinking and helping, planning and innovating. Through the wonders of technology, together we pray for the dear members of Malone who are ill in body or mind, those who are lonely or lost, those who face unemployment or economic disaster, and those who have lost loved ones. Dear God, we ask that you heal and help them and their families to journey to a brighter future. We give thanks for the beauty of nature around us. During lockdown, many of us are enjoying walks in parks and countryside, often following narrow, muddy and flooded pathways. Now our government asks us to follow another pathway, which is even more precarious. There are only 5 steps, but each is very large. God, grant us patience and wisdom, guidance and direction, fortitude and determination, so we can make it to the end. There once again to be able to stretch out our arms and greet one another in friendship and love. Only then can we journey on along the normal road of life. A boy beyond his years, setting out on an already broken road of life. A politician midway along that road, trying to mend a broken economy. An elderly lady nearing the end of a road of service, now facing family illness and difficult relationships. A congregation of people, each one unique, whose problems are just as real. Dear God, shine your light upon each one of us as we journey, for your word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our pathway. Amen.
From our house to your house. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and evermore. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.